It is a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA. Good morning, friends, Yinzers, countrymen. It is Cabali and Mac, presented by the Dan Heck Team, heckteamhomes.com, H-A-E-C-K, heckteamhomes.com. You want to buy or sell a home in a Pittsburgh area, they are the people to take care of you. Dan, Michelle, Jeremy, Corey, John, Keith, Heather, Mike, Tia, the whole team, ready to help Yinz out. They cannot fix computers. I'll explain in a second for those that haven't been keeping up overnight with the kaboom's travails. As you see, he is downtrodden this morning, the eve of Steelers training camp report date. But we're going to lift his spirits just a little bit. Follow us at Cabali and Mac on X, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. And, of course, subscribe on YouTube. We are this close to 2,000 subscribers on YouTube. When we get to 2,500, that's when we give away that autographed Paul Skeens baseball. It's been a slow go this summer, I'll be honest. You guys have been on vacation. You've still been popping in every once in a while. We've been popping in every once in a while. We appreciate with training camp getting started here. You're going to want to make sure you're subscribed so you're not missing anything and maybe win the autographed Paul Skeens baseball while he's still a Pirate. He is veteran Steelers reporter Mark Cabali. I am Chris Mack, just some dude in his basement. We've got plenty to talk about today, including if you're one of the first 500 subscribers or followers on Instagram, you're eligible for that Yoli's $100 gift certificate, too. Delicious food, great people, a lot going on at Yoli's, and we thank them for that $100 gift certificate. We're going to get to one of Ian's who's following us on Instagram once we get to 500 followers. We're at like 250 right now, so we're halfway there. Let's pick up the pace. The downtrodden kaboom, dealing with laptop issues, not just laptop issues, Mark. Yeah, I mean, it's just shot. The thing's done, right? Are you going to just walk into the Apple store or some computer shop this morning and just hand them the thing and say, fix it. I don't care what it costs. I'm Mark Cabali. Take care of me. Training camp starts tomorrow. What are you doing here?
That's not the issue. The issue is transferring everything. You know how that is. You get set in your ways with your own computer. Oh, your stuff's where it needs to be. I don't even know if they could transfer anything because you can't even turn the screen on, to let alone, you know, transfer anything. I don't know. It's just a big mess. Computer for you. Well, they can get it off, can they? Because they can't even see it. So how do you even put the password in? I have no idea.
They plug in some sort of external display or something. Is it an Apple? Is that the problem?
It is definitely a Mac, yes.
Yeah. See, so you take it to the store. You say, listen, you guys know who I am. By the way, the matching TJ hats today, good work by us. We look like a couple of girls wearing the same dress to the prom. You walk into the Apple store. You say, hey, listen, I need this thing tomorrow, okay? I got to drive up to La Trobe. I got to write stuff, okay? I got to do work. Fix it. Fix the screen and make sure everything's good. If you can't fix the screen, make sure all my stuff from that computer there ends up on the new computer over here.
Yeah, you know, this thing is about 11 months old.
That's ridiculous.
So I've already had some issues. They said it was my fault. I don't know. There's a little crack in it. Well, a little crack turned into... I still can't find a little crack, but the whole screen's gone. And the last time they told me it was something ridiculous to replace the screen compared to buy a new one. I mean, the screen was almost as much as they're like, hey, we have to order it. You're an Apple store. You should have screens. But we'll see.
Man, what a time. What a time for you.
I mean, the timing. That's all. I mean, I sat down last night.
Yeah, when you go to La Trobe, tonight, tomorrow morning, what's up?
Tomorrow, they just report tomorrow, which is like 10 a.m., which makes it even more complicated. It's not like, hey, I can come get it tomorrow.
No, they got to fix it today. Expedited. That's a big fancy word for do it now.
Yeah, but... It's just, I'm like up at 8 o'clock in the morning. Well, I was up at 7. I already cut the grass. How about that?
Wow. That's an old man move right there. I had cutting the grass before 10 a.m.
I wasn't anticipating spending hours at the Apple store.
Jesus.
And the next time I could cut it would be probably, what day is that? Monday? And that's not going to happen.
10th or something? Is that the next time?
They practice Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, off Sunday, Monday, come back Tuesday. Pat McAfee show will be there Wednesday.
Yes, big news.
I wonder where they're going to put them. Probably. Because, you know, they're on at noon. The Steelers don't hit the practice field until about 2. So maybe they will. We'll see.
Right there by the side of the field. If the boys are lucky.
Or just like inside the old church.
Look, if I can get a passport in a matter of like 12 hours,
yeah, passport renewed. You drove 8 of those hours. So
I did. But if I can get that done, then you can get a new laptop by tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, but then I have to, not to mention the wrestling stuff I was supposed to do has to be put back. Not to mention the kid has wrestling practice on, of course, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
It's a hell of a life for you. You know that? All these first world problems.
Kids, other kids have cheerleading practice. It's like, don't they just, you know, can we just like take a couple days off? Do they know? It's the start of camp. I guess they don't care.
They don't care. No, the world doesn't bend to your will. Unfortunately, it's
this,
not.
This what is this iPhone? My iPhone sucks too.
So, get it together, man. Get it together. Get it all fixed
old.
Up. Today.
My iPhone's old, and the kid gets a brand new one, and I get the old 8-year-old one.
Did you figure out what caused this broken screen? Because it looked like it took some shots. It looked like it took a beating.
Honestly, there was one line down that maybe a month ago, and I took it, and they're like, well, it's your fault. I'm like, I'll deal with it. Then all of a sudden, it was fine. Then just yesterday afternoon, it was fine. I opened it up last night after I came home, and after watching some wrestling, and it was just disgusting. I'm like, what is going on? Now, first of all, it wouldn't turn on. It was just no screen. So I'm trying all the different things. Nothing would work.
Then he smacked it a couple times and broke it some more. A
couple smacks, and it was over after that. All right. It came back on, but it was just, you couldn't even get to it. It was like,
well, get it fixed today, okay?
11 months old.
Get it fixed.
I don't even know if I haven't paid off yet.
They got to help you out somehow, man. So training camp starts, technically starts Thursday. Guys got to report tomorrow to St. Vincent College in Latrobe. You want to follow along with Mark. You know how to do it on Twitter, obviously, but more shows coming later in the week once you get stuff fixed, maybe. Who knows? Don't forget, you can always thank our good friends at Southwest Greens for supporting the show as well. SouthwestGreensPA.com. They're the best. Your yard, you're tired of mowing, you're tired of watering, you're tired of spraying whatever you got to spray on it to keep the weeds away. You're tired of all the nonsense and the maintenance and the headaches. Get Southwest Greens to come out, give you a beautiful artificial lawn that looks fantastic, acts real. The kids can play on it. The pets do what pets do on it. And everything's fine. And you get a lawn that is the best looking one in the neighborhood with the least amount of maintenance. Whether you want the full yard done, you just want a little corner, or maybe you practice your golf, huh? Maybe a little space around the kids' play set. If you got one of those, a swing set in the backyard, around the pool, whatever it is, Southwest Greens PA will take care of you. SouthwestGreensPA.com. We appreciate them for supporting Kabali and Mac as well. All right, we can get to Steelers-specific stuff in a second, but this is Steelers-adjacent because it's AFC North news. And it's not really news necessarily. It's just the ongoing saga of the Cincinnati Bengals and Trey Hendrickson. He's not going to camp. He posted on Instagram this morning a picture of him driving down the highway, and the location was Florida. So he's nowhere near Bengals camp. And doesn't have any plans on getting to Bengals camp anytime soon. I think the word he used to describe in a message to one person was atrocious, according to one source. The amount of guaranteed money they're offering him in a deal. Here's a question for you, because I don't know where I stand on this, to be honest. I go back and forth. I think the answer is no, but I guess it's always a possibility with Burrow, Chase, and Higgins. Are the Bengals even a playoff team without Trey Hendrickson?
Well, I don't think they're a playoff team with Trey Hendrickson.
Wow.
I think they have too many holes. I mean, you're expecting a lot from an offense. It's obviously talented with Burrow, Chase, Higgins, Gesicki. Wait. Don't tell me.
Who are you trying to remember?
The guy from Harvard. Was it Harvard?
Yoshivas.
I was trying to say Goskis or something. But yeah, I mean, there's some talented wide receivers.
Harvard. He went to Princeton, by the way.
Honestly, you think about it. We sit here and complain about the Pittsburgh Steelers and what their downfall would be. Could be their offensive line. If you looked at the Cincinnati Bengals offensive line,
it's not great. Not great.
Not to mention they just jettisoned basically every single defensive player they have, and the only good one they really do have decides to do the peace out sort of version. And speaking of that, you remember the old days when they just didn't show up? They had the cryptic Instagram message. Say, I'm not showing up. Maybe just put it in on Miles Garrett letterhead or something like that.
Garrett deal is taking out everybody, isn't it?
Do you think he even told the Bengals or the Bengals, hey, did you see this IG account?
I mean, he's pretty much told them already for months, Hendrickson, that he's not going to show if they don't give him a decent offer. So they should be, they shouldn't be the least bit surprised. But
it costs him some money.
I don't think, I know you already said you don't think they're a playoff team because they don't have anybody else on the defensive side of the ball. I think they could still be a 9-10 win wild card team based just on how many points they're capable of scoring. But they have nobody to stop anything on the other side of the ball. And without Hendrickson, even less so. Like, you're right, the offensive line isn't all that impressive. But there's literally, I shouldn't say literally nothing. How old is BJ Hill now? Like, he's got to be pushing 32, 33. Am I close on that one?
He's north of 30, I would imagine.
Oh, he just turned 30 in April. So I was off by a couple years. But like, I mean, there's nothing going for them on that defense aside from Hendrickson. And I don't know if he's willing to just completely hold out as long as possible. And I don't know. I don't know how far it's going to go with Hendrickson and the Bengals, but this kind of comes back to what we were talking about when people were making the ridiculous claims that the Steelers should trade TJ Watt, right? Like, the Steelers aren't a better team without TJ Watt. The Bengals are not a better team without Trey Hendrickson, but they've painted themselves into this corner where they either give him what he wants or they're without Trey Hendrickson. And like we both just said, they're probably not a playoff team.
I mean, you look at last year, and a lot of people, that's their fancy pick, the Bengals, because of their offense. But we're looking at Joe Burrow that probably had his best year of his career, one of the all-time great seasons. To be honest with you, he was unbelievable, and they still didn't make the playoffs. I mean, is he going to be able to replicate something like what he did last year?
He's going to have to.
Very difficult to do.
And for an entire season, not just for the final 7 weeks of the year, for the entire season, he's going to have to do that.
It's a very sexy pick. And I mean, I like their running back. I mean, there's nothing wrong with their skill players. Skill players are probably one of the best in the league. It'd be hard to find a better group of skill players than the six guys that they have. But offensive line and the entire defense, plus they're the best.
Still no Shamar Stewart, too. So
going back to school, maybe, right?
I don't know if that's necessarily true. I think Mike Elko and the Aggies kind of shot that idea down. But he's not in Cincy. He's not there at training camp.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, there was some talk about you know, TJ Watt might have been told, hey, you're glad to be a Steeler. You should be happy to be a Steeler.
Yeah.
Well, look what they're doing to Hendrickson. Look what they're doing to Micah Parsons. So maybe they had a point there. I mean, Jerry Jones is out there and saying, yeah, I don't know if he's worth it. He's gets hurt. He missed six games last year. Well, what a way to negotiate a contract there.
Jerry might be the single most entertaining, and it sucks for if you're a Cowboys fan, but for the rest of the league and their fans, he's the single most entertaining option on the table right now. Because that man, the older he gets, I mean, he gave no Fs to begin with. He really didn't. He just says whatever comes into his mind at that moment. There's no filter whatsoever, I don't think. But as he gets older, he loses more and more of the filter. He's the grandpa at the cookout who somebody walks in and he immediately just starts telling you exactly what he thinks about them.
Not to mention he's the old grandpa, and the older you get, the more you don't give an F. But he also is worth billions of dollars too, so that's a double don't give an F.
And then he'll end up screwing himself in the end, because they'll end up having to give Parsons what he wants, because somebody will end up telling Jerry, hey, Jerry, if we don't have Micah, we're screwed. Mm-hmm. And in Cincy, it's a little bit expected, I think, because the Bengals have always been, I don't want to call it, let's just call it what it is. They're a half-assed operation. And I don't want to say they lucked into Burrow and Chase and Higgins, but, you know, they get these guys, and that's great. They keep them around. That's awesome. I do think there's an outside chance that they're still a wild card team, even without Hendrickson, just because of all that talent. Because like you said, Burrow is at times the best quarterback in the league for 4, 5, 6 weeks at a time. But, man, they don't get how to operate, I don't think. So when you complain about the Steelers and how they handle business, particularly by paying TJ Watt and doing whatever else they've done this offseason that maybe you don't think they should have done, just remember, you could be a Bengals fan. You could be a Cowboys fan.
Dallas or Dallas. I mean, yeah. To me, it sounds like Jerry Jones wants to keep people in line. I'm Jerry Jones. I'm going to say this stuff just to make sure you know and you realize you're one or two rungs behind me. I am the Dallas Cowboys. I'll eventually pay you, but I'm going to let you know who's running
the show. I'm going to talk all kinds of shit before I do. It's exactly what it is. It's just such a weird vibe. I don't see that team going much of anywhere this year, even if they do get the Parsons thing figured out. They're going to pay three guys $150 million and then piece everything else together. They still don't have a running back either. That doesn't seem to add up. All right, as for the Steelers, reporting to camp tomorrow, you mentioned at 10 a.m., and then practices will start. Practices on Thursday, what, shorts, stuff like that. Will they do the conditioning test tomorrow afternoon? Yeah. Another thing that we've deduced doesn't really mean as much anymore as it used to. There won't be a Jermaine Stevens on the sidelines puking his guts out during the conditioning test.
That's basically, unless there's some drastic change in how they go about their business, but they usually report, they do weigh-ins, might have a meeting, then right to the field and do their run tests or their conditioning tests, and pretty much done for the day before they get started the next day with OTA number 7, maybe, whatever it is.
You're calling it an OTA because they're in shorts?
Yeah, that's all it is. It's the same thing. It's absolutely the same thing.
But they just happen to be at St. Vincent for it.
Yeah, I don't even know if they're allowed to even do that long. I think there is a rule that the first couple practices have to be short, then they can, even time-wise, that needs to be ramped up. I'm not sure if that's the now or when they put the pads on, but they'll gradually get longer in practices. They're not going to put together 2.5-hour practices right out of the gate. I don't think they're allowed to do that.
And they don't put the pads on until
Tuesday.
Next Tuesday. Yep. So they get almost a full week of practices in before they put the pads on.
Acclimation, baby.
And then they're only allowed how many padded practices? Like, what is it, 12 or 16 or something like that in training camp?
That might be the season. I'm not quite sure about the camp. I don't know. I didn't know there was an actually number put on that.
I thought there was. Yeah, it's 16. They can only, and they can't exceed 2.5 hours. So
I don't even have 16 practices at camp.
Well, technically, I guess training camp continues once they leave St. Vincent, right, and head back to the south side.
Yeah, I know during the season they have different rules of how many times you're allowed to have pads and what time of the year, and the second half not as many, but they'll get their pads on. If they go 1 or 2 days, then he'll have a day or so off, especially if it's a late night or early morning, he'll do something like that. So it's going to be kind of warm too, I see. It's going to be in the 90s.
We get Mike T out there in his long sleeve black t-shirt and his black pants, soaking up the heat.
Last year or 2 years ago, somebody asked him why he was wearing white, and he just said, "I just always amazed that you guys really care what I'm wearing." Well, right. Why do you care if he's wearing a white shirt?
He's well, always been I that dude that shows up in all black, though, on the hottest day of the year.
I mean, they all wear long sleeves because of the sun. Imagine how much time they are in the sun. So that's why they do that. Some of them wear hoodies, get a good sweat in. I get a good sweat in, and I don't need a hoodie.
You said it, not me. All right. Here's a thought I had, like a little exercise we can go through. Not physical, relax, mental. A little exercise.
Cut the grass. I already cut the grass. No, I haven't finished it, but my exercise is about done for the day.
You cut your clover. That ain't grass. There's no grass out there.
I got to get trimmed now because I was, you know, I didn't know the proper etiquette of when I should start a lawnmower. I waited till 8:15, so that was plenty of time.
Wake up, everybody. Wow. The boom's got to mow his grass. Hope you weren't sleeping in.
If you're sleeping that late, you can kiss my butt.
All right, here's a little mental exercise I wanted to go through. If you could pick three guys on this roster, the Steelers roster, to have the best season of their career this year, and it would have the most impact on how deep they go into the playoffs, and I'm not going to let you say Rodgers or TJ.
Well,
all right,
Rodgers is by far number one.
I know. That's why I'm saying you can't say Rodgers or TJ.
This is a dumb exercise.
It's not a dumb exercise.
Pick three, but don't pick the two that matter the most.
Yeah, because you'd instantly give me those two, and it would be name the third guy.
Did you see that? Did you hear that?
What?
My laptop just turned on automatically for no reason.
Is it working?
No, it's just big blotch. It looks like a Bob Ross painting. But it just turned on. How's that?
You got some
possible?
Happy little trees in the corner.
There's a big splotch on the right, big lines like bouncing up and down. That's about all but you heard it just turn on. I didn't do anything.
You get it figured out today, please. Then give me someone. Give me the guys you think. Again, outside of Rodgers and Watt. Because if Rodgers has some sort of renaissance to like peak Rodgers, obviously that changes everything. They become a Super Bowl contender.
You're saying the best year of their career? Or the?
Yes.
Well, you can say somebody who's really hasn't done much, too, so he counts.
Don't look for loopholes, man.
Well, if I say Broderick Jones right now, who hasn't really
done
much.
That's what I was going to say. But he's James in the chat on YouTube suggested him as well, alongside Joey Porter Jr., and he kind of cheated on the third one. He said all the running backs.
I can't see a chat on the cell phone, so.
Well, don't worry about it. He said JPJ, Broderick, and the running backs.
Running backs, period, plural.
Yeah, as a group, which is kind of cheating the
I'm
game
going,
also.
Can I say the best year ever? Can I say somebody like Arthur Smith then?
Yeah. Yeah, let's go back and look at Arthur Smith offenses and see how many points they've scored. And if he scores more than he's ever scored before, then absolutely, that's going to be something that takes the Steelers from
Arthur Smith. I'm going to say, I'm not going to really say wide receiver two, because I don't think the wide receiver two needs to be dynamic. He just needs to produce some. I think there's a lot of guys like that besides DK Metcalf that just has to produce some. They can't just disappear. So definitely Broderick Jones.
Right. agree on that one.
Definitely see Aaron Rodgers number one, but apparently I'm not allowed to say
you're
it.
Not. It defeats the purpose of the exercise.
Stay outside the box. I'm going to say a little Patrick Queen. I think
I had Patrick Queen on my list too.
Baloney.
I swear to God, you want to? I got my list right here. Look, I wrote down. You can't see that on the camera. B. Jones, DK Metcalf, and Patrick Queen. That's who I wrote down.
Metcalf had some solid seasons. So
right. So if he were to have another season that you could call one of the best, if not the best of his career, obviously that means he's healthy. Rodgers is linking up with him a good bit. The offense is moving down the field.
All right, I'm going on a different way here.
I'm
going to say Arthur Smith. I'm going to say Patrick Queen. And even though he has a Hall of Fame career, I'm going to say Cam Hayward. He needs to be able to produce just as much, if not more, than he did last year, which might be unfair to him because of how light that defensive line is. Maybe not the all-time best season of his career, but he's going to have to approach what he did last year.
You think he can do that?
Why not?
Because he's 36 now?
So he did it at 35. What the hell?
Okay. So Cam Hayward, I knew you were going to go defensive line with somebody, and he's really the only one that makes sense because Keanu Benton hasn't really done anything yet, and Derek Harmon's a rookie.
Yeah. I mean, Highsmith, you could throw in there. They can use him for 12, 13 sacks. Maybe Boswell, right?
Six field goals every week.
Yeah. Did you see that SI.com article about the top players in the past quarter century or whatever?
No, I did not.
They had Boswell as the ninth best kicker. Ninth.
Is this like all across the league? They had him as the ninth best kicker the last 25 years?
Yeah, it was like there's three guys I've never heard of. I'm like, who's that? Yeah, that's the list.
I mean, the Arthur Smith one I really like because I hadn't thought of that. And his best season was definitely 2020 in Tennessee. They were, I think, 12th in points and second in yards. So that would mean the Steelers are scoring more than 20 points a game, and they don't have to count on their defense to do absolutely everything.
I mean, I might even throw a guy like Terrell Austin there. It's almost to the point right now where I think they have enough talent to be a very good team, but they need the right coaching to get to that point to push them over the edge. I mean, that might be unfair to Austin because I don't know how much. I mean, it's not like he has carte blanche over the defense. I mean, it's group effort, so to speak. So he needs to have a good season. I mean, he's a lame duck right now, right? He's not under contract, but all coaches are lame ducks. Nobody actually ever gets an extension until their contract runs out. But
hold on. That brings up an interesting question. What if this defense for the bulk of the season looks more like the defense we got in the final 5 weeks last year? Like, he's not around anymore. And I don't know what it means for going out and acquiring or keeping all the veterans that you've brought in or signed to extensions, Cam and TJ, Slay, Ramsey, all these dudes that you went out and got. Queen, I guess we could lump in there as well, even though they got him a year ago, year and a half ago now. You went out and got all these guys, and if your defense doesn't look like it did the first 6 weeks, 8 weeks of the season, and instead looks like it did the final 4 or 5 weeks of the season, what's to keep Terrell Austin around? Like, you have all this talent, and if they tank, if they get steamrolled again like they did against Baltimore, they're not going anywhere. They're a 7-win team.
Yeah, I don't think there's any in-house guy that can take his spot right now. I don't believe. I mean, you got a new linebacker coach. I think Dunbar wouldn't be interested in that. But I don't think you can look at what they did to Matt Canada a couple years ago and say that's the new norm. I think that was crazy circumstances surrounding where they just had no choice but to move on from him. So, I mean, regardless of what he does, even if they crap the bed, I don't see Darrell Austin going anywhere or being replaced or his power replaced or anything like that.
Really?
I mean, who are you going to go with? I mean,
I don't know, but here's a novel concept. Bring someone in from outside the organization.
In mid-season?
No. I mean, you fire him mid-season if the defense sucks for the first half of the year. Tomlin essentially calls the defenses on Sundays anyway. And you go out and find somebody who can actually maximize what's left of Cam and TJ and Slay and Ramsey and all these dudes that you've accumulated now going forward.
I just don't think. I mean, normally they have a offensive coordinator in waiting just in case. I just don't see that guy right now. I mean, you got a young outside linebacker coach. You got an old defensive line. I guess Dunbar could do it, right? You got a new inside linebacker coach and a relatively new cornerback coach. I mean, relatively new because he was here, then left and came back. I just don't see anybody there. I mean, I guess Tomlin can take over, but...
I mean, again, he basically calls the defenses on Sunday, does he not?
I don't know if he calls the defenses. I think he has a good portion of putting the plan together Tuesday through... whenever they put the plan together, Tuesday and Wednesday. This is what we're going to do. This is who we're going to take out. This is who we're going to, you know, focus all of our attention on to. But I think... unless there's a call or two during the game that he wants to override or say, hey, we want this and this. But for the most part, I think that's Tomlin's most input comes during early part of game planning.
So you've expressed a serious concern about the defensive line. You mentioned it a couple times in the last few weeks.
Up the gut.
Your gut says they're in trouble?
Well, up the gut as in, you know, Wilson, Queen, defensive line. But if you're going to narrow that down, I would say defensive line. I mean, you're the one that says Hayward's 36 and it's a bum.
I didn't say it was a bum. I said he's 36.
So he can get hurt at any time, right? And who knows what Harmon can do, and who knows what Benton can do, then where are you at? I mean, honestly, where are you? So I think that's a position where you're not going to go add anybody right now. Your goal in the offseason was to have Hayward draft Harmon. Hopefully Benton steps up, then throw a bunch of role players behind him, and, you know, the best three or four that come out of training camp are the ones you're going to move forward with.
Okay, so if the defense does hold up, especially up front, because, look, you still got TJ Watt. You mentioned Highsmith. The secondary, you've got three solid corners now, if not really good to very good, to maybe even great, depending on what you get from Ramsey. Corners in the secondary. The safety issue still exists, which... I still think they got to go out and do something before the regular season starts. But if the defense holds up, okay, let's say we get this magical Aaron Rodgers, DK Metcalf connection. Like, Metcalf, believe it or not, has never caught more than 90 balls in a season. If he catches 100 balls and he's up around 1,200, 1,300 yards, which would also, I think 1,300, 1,303 to be exact, is the most he's ever had in a season. But if DK Metcalf becomes a 100-catch, 1,300-yard kind of guy this year, and Aaron Rodgers throws, what do we want to say, 30 touchdowns, less than 10 picks?
He normally does. I mean, look at his career interceptions. He doesn't throw more than – he doesn't throw double digits very often in his career.
No, I want to say the last year in Green Bay, maybe he had 12, he had 11 last year. But yeah, other than those two seasons, he hasn't thrown more than 10 picks in over 15 years.
So I would imagine that will stay true.
So if Rodgers has a year, again, I'll say 30 touchdowns, 10 or fewer picks, and Metcalf is the target for most of them, is that enough with the defense holding up its end of the bargain for them to do more than what we talk about all the time is the goal at this point, to win a playoff game, to get beyond the first round of the playoffs?
See, I label it like this, with this. This is how I see it. I think they've bettered their team throughout the entire team. I think they got a better roster. But I wouldn't be surprised if they're a 10-win team. But I think their ceiling's higher this year than last year. I think they got pretty much everything they could out of last year. They squeezed it dry. I don't think that's the case this year. Even if they do win 10 games and have the same regular season record, I think they have in a better position to be able to go into a playoff game and win the game. Maybe two if you're really playing good at the time. I don't think that was the case last year. So, I mean, at that point, I'll take 10 wins, right? I'll take 10 wins and have a better opportunity to, maybe go to, who knows, Houston, Jacksonville, Indianapolis, or whoever is going to win, Baltimore, Cincinnati, and be able to win that playoff, the elusive playoff game. I mean, I just think they got a higher ceiling this year than they did last year.
Yeah, I'm curious to see. I tend to agree that once you get in the playoffs, given the group that they've put together, because you have the veteran quarterback, because you have the veteran guys on defense, especially the guys who've been there like Slay and Ramsey, that you're maybe a little bit more of a scare for some teams in the first round of the playoffs, in the wild card round, assuming that's what it is again. But I still don't know, short of everything coming together perfectly in one particular instance, in one singular game in the playoffs, like, I don't see them getting through a Baltimore, a Kansas City, a Buffalo on the road in the playoffs. Like, if that's where you've got to go in the wild card round, we're right back to the same conclusion to the season.
Think? I mean, you probably couldn't play any worse than you did last year in Baltimore if you tried, and it was still 28-14. I know they weren't never really in that game, but it's not like it's over, out of the realm of possibility. And Buffalo, man, I don't know. I just don't see it. They got a great quarterback.
Yeah.
Best in the league. But
yeah.
What else they have? I mean, it's not like they're unbeatable. They're not the old 07 Patriots in my eyes.
No, I mean, they're not at that level, but they have the best quarterback in the league most weeks, if not all. They have a couple of young wide receivers who I think, like Keon Coleman in particular, is going to get better. And if James Cook is James Cook again, then they can run the ball when they want to more often than not. I mean, that's the kind of team that wins that division, because the rest of that division isn't great. And then you got to go play them in Buffalo in January. And short of, like I said, Aaron Rodgers finding peak Aaron Rodgers form again, I don't know how you go into Buffalo, Kansas City, Baltimore, and win a playoff game.
When Rudolph was up there 2 years ago, I mean, they were in that game for a portion of it.
But that's what we've seen in the last couple of playoff games. And granted, you could argue about quarterback, right? It was Rudolph in Buffalo. It was Russ in Baltimore. And Russ was, I don't know, whatever the hell Russ was down the stretch, not very good. Whether he was neutered by the OC or not, we can argue about, I guess. But like, so Rodgers is an upgrade, but that's if Rodgers is looking like himself again and not looking like final year in Green Bay, New York Jets, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I mean, it's a long way to go there, man. So we have to see how he plays. I mean, Aaron Rodgers could be the exception to the rule of the 40-year-old quarterback, other than Tom Brady finding that fountain of youth, or he could just be a colossal failure. I think we'll find out. I don't think we'll find that out in the preseason or training camp. I mean, let's face it. What you're going to hear coming out of the next week or two is, boy, does Aaron Rodgers look good, right?
That's what we got out of minicamp.
I mean,
even if he didn't really do anything.
Now he's going to be pretty much protected. He's going to just go through reads. He's going to have the arm talent to be able to make some throws to, you know, high-level receivers. And you're going to say, boy, he really looks good. But I don't fall for that anymore. There's this Pitt quarterback that really ruined me on that one.
Why you got to throw Kenny Littlehands?
I'm not throwing him under. I'm throwing me under the bus, and he had me fooled like crazy. I thought he was the second coming of Dan Marino. I don't even know if he threw a freaking incomplete pass all of training camp.
I thought it was going to be Montana to Rice all over again, huh?
Yeah, I mean, so you got to probably temper down. You're going to see a lot of stuff. I mean, just coming out of training camp, this guy looks good, this guy looks good, this guy looks good. They all look good. They all look good until the bullets start to fly.
Well, they'll be there tomorrow. You'll be there, laptop or not. We'll find out. Impact HVAC here for you. It's going to be steamy. If your AC breaks down or it's just not doing what you want it to do, you could call the Bill Goldberg action figure that Cavalli is currently playing with, or probably better to call somebody who could help fix it for you and take a look at it. Impact HVAC, 412-297-1852. Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook. They'll get out there. They'll take a look at it, tell you what needs to be done, if anything, and fix it for you if that's what it calls for. Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook or 412-297-1852. We appreciate them supporting the show as well. Can we talk about the abomination that is these throwbacks? What are we doing?
Some people like them.
Who they took the throwbacks from, what was it, like the 94-95 season? I can't remember what year it was. They made the numbers more prominent.
See, I saw a version of it. I think it was legit. That had the black slacks. That looked
slacks.
I think that was, I mean, I'm pretty, I don't think it was computer generated, but you have no idea anymore. But
can we just return to the fact that you called the pants slacks?
I always call them slacks.
They're not
slacks. You know how people in hockey call them sweaters? It's just a playoff of me being a jerk about hockey people.
They're not slacks. They're football pants. Yeah,
one time, I always used to say, you know, on Friday, Ben Roethlisberger, first quarterback off the field today, and people would get really upset.
You know? Just got to poke the bear, don't you?
First goalie. I mean, who cares?
Yeah, no. I get the reference.
He's the first goalie off the ice. Great. The guy plays 65 games, so I hope he's the first goalie off the ice. But I forget what I was saying.
You were talking about the slacks. What about the blouses? What do you think of the blouses?
No, I don't call them. I forget what I call them. So I call them sweaters.
Sweaters and slacks, okay.
Hosiery.
The whole thing is just hosiery. Bleh. I don't like it.
Honestly, look it up. Maybe I can't do it because I don't have a laptop. I'm on this phone. But I think there's a version with black slacks, and it actually looks a lot better. Rather than vomit, apricot vomit, baby poop ones, pants.
Yeah, I didn't see that with the black slacks.
Maybe they fooled me. I don't know.
But I don't know if that helps either, to be honest. All I see are the ones with the tan pants. I'm calling them pants. I'm not calling them slacks.
I mean, unless I've dreamt that. That dream?
Yeah. I mean, you've been through a time Somebody over the last 24 hours.
Tell me that there's a version of it with black slacks. But now I think about it, why would they have two different versions? As long as they're going to wear it more than, what, the Green Bay game, right? I don't know where I'm thinking at now.
I don't know. I think you made it up in your head. Because every picture I'm looking at on their website has the baby poop colored pants. Look, I like the yellow helmet. I actually don't hate the yellow helmet. And it's an upgrade over the 1994 throwbacks.
Well, and upgrade over that crap.
That's not saying much, man. Like,
I think they played the Colts that game. They all had throwbacks in 94, and the Colts just looked like the Colts.
Yeah.
Back
because some teams know what to do with their throwbacks, and for whatever reason, the Steelers have never really figured it out.
They don't have many options. That's the problem. When you have three, when your big twist to your uniform is rounded numbers, block numbers, you're pretty limited on what you can do.
I don't know. There's got to be something better. Better looking slacks. I can't believe you called them slacks.
What's wrong with a slack? You have never heard anybody call them slacks.
Football pants? No. Nobody's ever called football pants slacks. You were officially the first person to come up with that nonsense.
Slack. Hosiery, slacks.
Look, I'm going to die on the hill that they should have come up with some sort of alternate for the Ireland game using the Irish colors, and that would have been really cool. Maybe they weren't allowed to do that because it's a change in uniform colors. I don't know, but it would have been really cool. You could have done the DMR cloverleaf, Dan Rooney cloverleaf on there somewhere. It would have looked great. You could have done all white, right? They've never done all white. Could have done white. You could have done some kind of gray pants. Forged in steel. Then do like a steel color somewhere, gray, metal color.
Why do they do throwbacks?
To sell jerseys is why they do it.
Who's running out to the
mall to buy or going to Amazon to buy this today?
Who's going to buy a white jersey? And hey, while I'm at it, let me get some white slacks to go with them. I mean, you have to buy something that's marketable, right? Or make something, right?
Who's running out
and the white pants? Nobody's buying white pants. You're not buying football pants.
I don't buy jerseys anymore. I have one Troy Polamalu jersey that someone got me for Christmas years ago that continues to be the only Steelers jersey I own, and I only wear it for playoff games.
I see that's working.
Yeah, maybe that's the problem. But like, if I still bought jerseys, like back when I was in my teens and 20s, I'm not running out to buy this thing.
These kids nowadays probably like them. I don't know. You have to take into account you're an old fart now.
Well, I like this. Torsha said they'll buy this jersey at a yard sale in 10 years.
With Rodgers on it, right?
it's underwhelming, I guess is the best way to put it. Underwhelming.
I tweeted yesterday, it looks like gold dust.
It does have a gold dust vibe to it.
My favorite gold dust is when he used to start stuttering.
Yeah, that was a weird angle for a while. that was uncomfortable. It was funny sometimes, but then sometimes it was just uncomfortable. I don't know. The jerseys don't do anything for me. Like you said, they're going to wear them 1 week probably, and they'll go back in the boxes and get shipped off to Goodwill or whatever they do with old game-worn throwbacks.
They're so bad because the numbers are so small.
The Bumblebees sucked. I'm sorry. I don't care. The only alternate jerseys that I like are, I do like when they go all black with the gold numbers. I like that. That looks good. Gold stripe down the slacks, down the pants. That looks good. And then when they go with block numbers and the gray face masks, yes, that's what this team should look like.
Block numbers.
All the time. Gray face masks and block numbers.
You like go to a diner Saturday morning to eat pancakes or something? Is that how old you are? I like the block numbers.
You just called them slacks. Don't give me any shit about being old. You're calling football pants slacks.
Do you remember the old Pirates futuristic uniforms?
Oh, those were awful. With like the sleeves cut off right here.
We're in the future and they still suck.
You spend more time, by the way, and I know you like to poke the Bears out there, but you spend more time poking at a Pirates team that I don't know if anybody is still paying attention to than what? Anybody else I know.
Because it gets really, really frustrating that they win two games. Like, oh, this team's not that bad. I got pitching staff. No, they always suck. I mean, baseball is a very simple game to be
you
able to
throw the ball. You catch the ball. You hit the ball, Bull Durham.
Well, it can be Bull Durham. But my simple part is if you got talent, you win. And they don't have talent. I mean, as long as they don't have talent.
You lollygag down to first. Okay, you lollygag in the field.
For God.
You know what that makes you? Lollygaggers.
Lollygagger. That's the name of his fantasy team. But I swear to God, it was 3 weeks ago. Ben Charrington or whoever it was. I think we're close. We're close to what?
He's close to getting fired, some people.
Donnie Kelly, who but he came on and said, you know, I think Nightingale, I don't know who the hell it was on the fan.
Mystery Electricity.
Yeah, I mean, God. Right. But said that Donnie Kelly's in the manager of the year conversation. What are we talking about here? The team is just not good.
Can I tell you how to fix this? Look, you're going away to training camp tomorrow anyway, right? You're going to be too busy to really pay a ton of attention.
My God darn SMP 360. That's the only thing worse than the Pirates is their app.
Okay. Can I tell you how to fix this?
What's that?
Only pay attention when Skeens pitches. Just watch for that and just be done with the rest of it.
Honestly, I can't even do that because
you get mad that they don't score.
No. The overall stroking just gets too much. Oh my God, he's the best pitcher that's ever pitched ever in the current life. I'm like, just let the guy throw the ball. Do we have to say he's the best pitcher and he's this and that? Just let him play.
I mean, he is the best pitcher in the National League.
Hey, great. He's thrown 30 games in his career. Let him pitch. Do we really have to label him as the best this?
I think I've come to a conclusion here.
45 years of losing does this to you.
Yeah, that doesn't help. Well, 39 out of 45, I guess, technically. I think maybe you need to just be done with baseball for the year.
Normally I am. Another thing is, we talk about TJ Watt and how many playoff games has he won. How many playoff games has Andrew McCutchen won? He's played like in 10 playoff games in his career. But that argument doesn't cross over to him. And he played for the Yankees in the playoffs.
I think you're done. I mean, just be done. Just be done with baseball for the summer.
It's
okay.
Not a rip on McCutchen, as in it's the rip on a stupid argument. Well, he didn't win a playoff game. Yeah, because the pitcher gave up 96 runs that game. Maybe that's why.
Okay. So this is what I'm asking you to do for your own well-being, for your own mental health, for your own headspace, right? I need you to just not watch the Pirates the rest of the summer, okay?
By the time I turn them on, it's usually losing 6-0.
Okay, so don't even bother. Go up to Latrobe. Well, first get your laptop fixed. Then go up to Latrobe. Just hone in on Emmer Stellers. And you're going to look up. It's going to be September. The regular season's going to be starting. And by then, sure, yeah, definitely no reason to pay attention. Just be done. Just be done with it, okay?
This tells you what people think of the Pirates right now. My kid's 8 years old, and he goes, hey, I mean, every day it's like, the Pirates, how bad are the Pirates losing today? Jeez, you've learned quite quickly here, huh? That even the young generation know that you stink.
Oh, yeah, that's all they've known. If they're under the age of...
He thinks Jack Sawinski's good, so I mean... let's put it in perspective of his knowledge of the professional base.
If they're under the age of like 15, they really have no memories of even the 3 years where they were in the wild card. If you're under the age of, let me try to do some quick math here. Under the age of 35 or 40, you don't remember the early 90s teams that went to the playoffs 3 years in a row. And if you're under the age of 50, then you have no memory whatsoever of them ever winning in the postseason. None. That's half a century, Kaboom. So it's not just the little kids. It's all of us, basically, that have no memory of them winning in October, let alone, I mean, 6 years in 46 now that they've been to the postseason.
You know what they say about the Pacific Ocean?
What do they say?
Has no memory. Shawshank.
What? That is, wow, that's a deep pull of a Shawshank line. Say Wataneo.
That's where he crossed the line.
Say Wataneo.
Hancock, Texas is where he crossed.
Yeah, he was on his way to Say Wataneo.
The problem is there, that movie just ends so abruptly. He walks on the...
What, do you need a sequel to Shawshank? He broke out, he went, and then Red goes and finds him.
Great movie, all the way up, then it's all of a sudden, okay, I'm walking on the beach, let's end it.
Yeah, what do you want? Do you want Andy Dufresne and Red building a hut on the beach and getting coconuts out of the trees? What do you need? Do you need a buddy cop sequel?
You know, you could have a sequel to that. Now I think about it. You know, they find him and say Wataneo, and
no, you'd ruin the whole. No, come on, no. Got, don't even try to pitch this.
You got Happy Gilmore too, for God's sake. So what the hell?
Yeah, because Sandler makes like $50 million a year from Netflix, and they need him to do stuff. So they put together a sequel with a bunch of cameos in it. I'm sure it'll be mildly funny, because Sandler stuff always still has a few jokes in it that's funny. But like,
the man,
it's a nostalgia act. You can't do that with Shawshank. You'd ruin the original.
Oh, I'm saying it's one of the best movies of all time, but I'm just saying it ends very abruptly.
You say that, but I don't know what you want to have. Like, what would be a better conclusion to Shawshank?
Finding the old Black Rock, and he got the money, and he got the bus ticket, and Red can't even keep a thought, then it's over.
It's not. He goes and he finds Andy in Mexico.
Oh, well, like I'm saying, it just ends.
He goes and finds his best friend in the place that they talked about for years.
Movie's not great. I'm just saying it ends.
See, I think you look at it the wrong way. Let me explain. There are two endings, if you want to call it that, to Shawshank. There's Andy Dufresne standing in the rain, right? After he crawls through a mile of shit to come out clean on the other side, right? Quarter mile, whatever.
Any of us have really did it when it rained, everybody.
What?
How many times have you done that when it's raining outside?
All the time. The Dufresne stance. That's like the ending, right? Okay, Andy Dufresne gets out. And then there's the epilogue, which is everything with Red when he finally gets paroled. And he goes off to try and live life as a free man, and he can't do it. And so he says, screw it, I'm going to go to find Dufresne and say Wataneo. That's the epilogue right there. There's no more story after that. They're both free in Mexico.
I know what you think it means, Sonny. What you really want to know is if I'm sorry. Well, are you? It's not a day that goes by.
You just want to do the whole movie? I mean,
I probably could.
You probably could. All right. Go get your laptop fixed. We'll attempt to do this again maybe Thursday if you have a laptop, or we'll get stuck doing it on your phone again.
Bohemian style beer.
All I'm saying is, man, feels a little bit more like a free man if he can have a few suds after working out in the hot sun all day. Is How's that?
Co-workers. Hey, I got to go take a dump. So when he's going to go pinch one off.
Dry, wet, dry. Don't forget the method. Get your laptop fixed. and we'll do this again later in the week once everybody's reported and all your stuff's working again.
Speaking of dry, wet, drive, anybody can find Relaxed Dolls, get him on the horn.
Yeah, that man has, he's in Say Wataneo.
He's up in Venice like a fart in the wind.
What do you say, Miss Fuzzy Britches?
Honestly, I can just keep going and going here.
Huh? All right, we're not going to. That's enough for now. We'll talk about everybody reporting later in the week and look forward to the first few practices in shorts and continue to get you ready. Don't forget, by the way, thanks again to the Dan Heck team for supporting the show. They are fantastic to us. HeckTeamHomes.com, HAECK. Don't forget to follow on X, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and of course, subscribe on YouTube, a chance to win the autographed Paul Skeens baseball, and also follow on Instagram. It's not even on the screen. I see Goldberg's arm.
I got the McAfee dolls over there somewhere.
Okay, go play with your wrestling dolls and get your laptop fixed.
These are right next to my laptop when it was broken, so I'm a little skeptical.
You need to interrogate the boy. Find out what happened.
He goes, I've never touched that. I'm like,
did he say it way too quick? Like he was ready with the response?
I don't know.
You got to get to the bottom of this. Get that thing fixed. We'll talk later in the week, okay? Say bye.
Say bye.